So again, I'll keep checking, making sure everybody's muted. I hear some people. And again, it's not that, and I know I've been on calls and you forget that you're not muted and, you know, dogs bark, God knows, in my house. A lot of you have been on my calls when the dogs start barking or howling or the phone rings or all kinds of other stuff can happen. So this is mainly for that. And also I keep stressing, you may want to shut off your video camera because it saved bandwidth. So what we're going to do in a few minutes, I'll do the, and this is for the recording. I'll do my little PowerPoint, right? And I do a PowerPoint for me. It keeps me on task. And this is something, what I'm going to have people do again is I'll get you my PowerPoint and you can make it pretty. Mine is just flat white. I didn't make it pretty. And if you want, do what you want. It's a template. But what I'm going to ask everyone to do is to re-record it, you know, on your own system. And so you can post it on your timeline for Facebook. Maybe if you have your own email list. I know like Dr. Dragon has her own email list. So send it out there, right? Because again, when you understand how viral things work, whether it's virus, you know, or you want something to go viral, you have to build it on other people, right? And that's just how it all seems to work. So we're going to have some fun with this. And again, it's pretty common information, but we forget that a lot of people don't understand common information, because what's happening right now is the media has activated your reptilian brain, right? Your reptilian brain kicks in, because the easiest way to activate the mammalian brain is fear and uncertainty. And a lot of your fear comes from the uncertainty of what's happening, right? And so when your mammalian brain kicks in, and the reason when you understand how it happens, you know, we all understand we have fight, flight, and freeze, right? Well, fight and flight are higher levels of the brain. You're going to fight to survive or you're going to run away to survive. And you can make a conscious choice sometimes whether you want to fight or flee. It depends on which level it is, right? Whether it's your, you know, higher cortex, if it's your primate brain or your mammalian brain, and then your reptile brain, right? When the other levels, the primate, that's when you can decide, do I want to flee or fight? You'll think about it and then maybe you'll decide. And your mammalian brain will kick in and you will either fight or flee, right? When your reptilian brain kicks in, that's freeze. That's what your reptile brain does. The other day, it's kind of ironic. I talked about it the other day in a sales context, where if you're pitching something to a prospective client, you know, like a group of, excuse me, move my notes, move your, you know, to pitch sessions or a program or your class, whatever you're doing, they will agree. And then what happens for a lot of people when they get to the, when they start thinking about it at that, the next level about whether they're going to pull the trigger and, you know, give you money or not, I guess. I don't want to say closing a sale, because that linguistic twist of saying closing means you've ended. You know, we're not a car dealer. The salesman closes, then it goes into you go into finance, then maybe you'll see the service people. No, our thing is we open the relationship. So when you get to the level to open the relationship to the next level, right? Well, people there, now their brain starts activating, right? And many people will revert back. They'll start thinking about the uncertainty principle. Will this work for me? Will it not work for me? They won't consciously say it out loud to you. They get to that. And so what does their brain tell them to do? Find an excuse not to take action. Let me get back to you. You know? And you know, we could call them objections. Really what's happening is their reptilian brain kicks in, and that's the uncertainty factor, right? And when you add some external fear to the uncertainty as part of life, and the deeper parts of your mind just want to keep you alive, that's its main job, and uncertainty can be kind of dangerous. It's one of the reasons we see all of us humans, we get a little bit more conservative as we get older, right? And because we've seen more things, and we don't like the uncertainty of what might happen, right? And so that's just something, you know, that we can think about. So So that's what's kicking in now with everyone, right? We have the uncertainty factor. No one knows, right? The media has already stroked the fear factor to the nth degree in all of us, right? Which is not a good thing. And then we have the uncertainty factor, because even though there's fear because it's a scary disease or whatever it is, right? And then we add the fact, and please make sure you mute yourself. Hold on, let me check this. I gotta manage the participant. Okay, thank you. Thanks. And so when they add the fear factor, they tell you the terrible things. They show you the horrible pictures from other parts of the world. So our fear is activated, which again starts activating the reptilian brain. Oh my God, I got to stay alive. And then the stress kicks in. And then the uncertainty factor, will I get it? Will I not get it? Da, 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 da. And now they've added an interesting concept, and I understand it from controlling an epidemic. But when they add you distance yourself from other human beings, right? Social distancing, when you're under stress and you're under high internal stress, you need comfort and security with other people. So if you're social distancing, you know, that adds to the heightened effect. So all of this is going on. It's also why we see hoarding of stupid things like toilet paper and paper towels, you know, even though intellectually they keep reassuring us there is no break in the supply chain. As we were talking this morning at the health club, yes, my health club was open. And in Florida, we experience hurricanes. One of the things that happened with a hurricane is people do go to the store and they stock up. Why do they stock up? It's not that anything other than the fact, because I've lived through it and other people, for 3 or 4 or 5 days, there may be no supplies because it takes a while for the trucks and everything to get here. One of the hurricanes, it took about 4 days for the gas trucks to get here and this and that. But there's no supply train breakdown. So there's really no need to do it. Every day they're restocking the shelves. But that's the intellect. When the lower part of your brain is activated, and the reason I wanted to talk about this today, and the reason I want everyone to get this PowerPoint and re-record it in your own voice, on your own thing, you could use mine. I'll send you the recording if you want it, if you want to repost that. But it's to place NFNLP and all my NLP trainers and members as experts, just general experts, people to turn to. And why? Why? Because once this happens and that reptilian brain kicks in, people look for answers, right? And right now they're getting very bad answers. And it's counterintuitive to what we want, because the number one way to ruin your immune system and make yourself much more vulnerable to any kind of infection, by bacterial or viral, is to lower your immune system. And what lowers your immune system? Stress and fear. And when you're living in those, because the other thing that happens when you're under stress and fear is, we'll talk about it, then we have a tendency to want to eat comfort food, which may not be the best food to eat, and it lowers your immune system even more, right? And then some people, of course, they're going to drink alcohol, which will lower your immune system. I mean, we've got a few people on the call that are medical doctors or doctors of oriental medicine, things like that, nurses, I see a couple on there, and you know that, but it doesn't matter, right? So that's why I want everyone, please, you know, take this serious, re-record this in your own voice. I'll send you the PowerPoint. If you need help and you know, like on how to record it, I can show you how to do that. It's not that hard if you're not familiar with it. I use Zoom. That's what we're on now. The reason I use Zoom, and I really like Zoom, is it makes very good recordings. It's easier. It's an MP4 format. It also rips out an audio track, so you could use the audio track for like a podcast. In fact, that's how I do most of my podcasts. I do a recording like this, and then I'll just take the audio and put it up on the thing, and I'll take the video, put it on YouTube. And so, you know, it's multi-using thing. This is what I help people do, by the way. You know, there's a few people on the call, excuse me, that I've helped recently, you know, reboost their practice. You know, I used to do a lot of practice building back in the day. I kind of got away from it. But lately people have been reaching out even before this crisis. because it's a changing market and what's going on. How can I reboot my practice? What can I do this? You know, what are my internal blocks for me stopping myself from making everything? So that's, you know, I'll talk a little bit about that at the end, you know, why I'm doing what I do. But let me do my PowerPoint, and then we're going to jump in and have some fun. I don't want to keep everybody from what they're doing. Whoop, there's my emails. Okay, cool. And here we go. Right? It's just, yeah, it's very simple. So if you get this copy like Charles or, you know, Dr. Dragon or Roy, I got a lot of people, people I haven't seen for a while. So anyway, yeah, cool. So I'll send you this and you can, of course, put it in your own words, make it pretty. I kept it very basic. So what are ways, what lowers your immune system? Before we're going to talk about boosting your immune system, what lowers your immune system? Well, we all know stress, illness, and the immune system. When we're stressed, any kind, physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual stress will lower your immune system, right? So, you know, and because that has to do with the stress hormone, cortisol, right? Which really whacks out your immune system, right? So, and of course, we all know on our call here, you know, what's a great way to lower stress? Hypnosis, you know, mindfulness training, those things lower stress levels, right? What else lowers our immune system? Well, of course, one of the things that lowers our immune system is fear. We already talked about that. Fear kicks in your reptilian brain. Your reptilian brain, the other thing, when it kicks in, one of the things that begins to happen, as I said, it begins to funnel the blood away from the higher cortex of the brain. So you're not thinking as well anyway. It's why when you're under high stress, you do stupid things, right? And it also begins to shift your body to try to make you survive more. So it's going to shut down your immune system and your digestive tract. The reason it's going to do that, where it's going to do that because, you know, it's just trying to get you geared up to fight or flee, right? That's the number one thing it's going to do. Right. So that's why we got to do this. Right. And it also does some other things, right? Irritable bowel syndrome, ulcers, if it's constant, right. And premature death, anxiety, of course, right. All of these things link together, right. Triggers your fight or flight, right. It's a stress response. All these other systems, hormones hit your system, adrenaline, which is good to give you energy, but it burns out other parts of your system. That's why if you're constantly on, you know, if you get adrenal burnout, you're much more likely to have all kinds of other health issues, right? Including making you more vulnerable to viral infections. And this is a viral infection. Of course, it makes you more vulnerable to bacterial infections. A lot of us, if we're under anxiety, we get more sinus infections, right? But it makes your system much weaker to any kind of virus that you get, right? Lack of sleep. Now, when you add in fear, anxiety, stress, you're not going to sleep well. And when you're not sleeping well, it lowers your body's immune system, right? It just racks them out. And also, when all these things are put together, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, the lack of sleep, you have a tendency to want to go back and eat your comfort foods, whatever they are. And for most of those aren't healthy, which are going to, again, lower your immune system. Right? Which, so everything that we're having done to us right now from the outside is actually forcing our body to go into a heightened state of being much more susceptible to the virus that they're putting out there. And only one virologist was talking about one of the things he has a problem with the lockdown isn't people staying away from each other. It's the fact that people are going to hunker down in their house and they're not outside getting sunshine. And sunshine produces vitamin D. And vitamin D is one of the best, you know, it boosts your immunity. And it's a natural antiviral. So it's just kind of interesting. So what are ways, the thing of this call, what are ways to increase your immune response? You know, for a stronger immunity, natural ways. Number one, reduce your stress level. As hypnotists, you know, I see people putting up, you know, hey, you know, free stop, you know, lower your stress, lower your anxiety. They're doing free offering you know, like online free sessions. I think that's wonderful, you know, especially if you already have recordings. So you put it up there for free for a while, right? You can put it on your Facebook page for free, right? Just keep track of it, go back in a few months, take it down, you know, if you sell it in another spot. If you're selling it, is there a way you could go in, if you're doing it on iTunes or something, to lower the price to almost nothing, right? This is great. So that'll reduce your stress levels. So it's something we can take action to help out people do that. Make sure you tell our clients and people that when you're under stress, a lot of people will up their alcohol intake. You know, some of you know, today is my anniversary for stopping drinking alcohol. There's my St. Patrick's Day. It's a great day for an Irishman to quit drinking, which is St. Patrick's Day. And this year I can tell everybody, hey, in honor of my 36th anniversary of not drinking, many states have closed their bars and shut down their St. Patrick's Day parades. Thank you. Thank you. You know, a little bit of narcissism going on there, right? But moderate your alcohol intake, right? Make sure you get your basic vitamins. Eat more vegetables, right? We all know that. But a big one that not too many people are talking about, and they're making fun of it here in Florida, people going to the beach, get some sunshine, get out and about, right? Get exercise. Don't stop. The other bad thing about hunkering down too much is then people aren't going to exercise. People say, well, you could exercise in your house. I always say for 95% of the people, that's bullshit. They're not going to exercise inside their house. You know, the TV gets interesting. Suddenly Facebook is fascinating, whatever, you know, I'm going to work out, other things happen. So if you get some sunshine, you eat, make sure you focus on eating better, and which is hard when you're under stress because you want to add sugar to your system. It's a stress response, right? And get sufficient sleep, which is easier said than done. This is something we can do. Also, do something you enjoy, whether it's watch a TV show that you enjoy, have some fun. What do you enjoy? Do things that you enjoy because it naturally lowers your stress, boosts your immune system in other ways, increases your cardiovascular, helps your gut, things like that. And the number one thing you can do to boost your immune system is laugh, right? It decreases all stress hormones. This has been tracked. You could just look up study after study. It increases all your immune cells, your T cells, all the cells that fight all the antibodies, antiviral, antibacteria. It improves your resistance to all disease, viral and bacterial, right? It triggers the release of endorphins, which makes you feel good, right? And then again, what happens when you're under stress and you don't feel good, you know, you get a little, oh, I got a headache. Oh my God, it's the virus. I'm going to die. And you go off on these tangents. No, it's, you know, if you're in a good mood and you get a little bit of a headache, you're just gonna, I got a little bit of a headache. You know, I drank too much coffee. I did something that stressed me out, whatever it happens to be, right? So laughter, you know, this goes back to the a book everyone should read. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. And he was diagnosed with, he had heart disease and I forget the name of it, but it was a bad disease. Basically, he only had a one in several hundred chance of survival. So he decided in the book, very simple explanation of the book. He decides since he's going to die anyway, he's going to have some fun. So he would spend a couple hours a day, several hours a day, watching movies that made him laugh, movie and TV shows. He would watch Canon Camera for some reason. That was on at the time. But he watched like Marx Brothers, The Three Stooges. What's the other one? Laurel and Hardy. Any of the big comedies. He did this late in the 60s. And, you know, he did that for several months. And guess what happened? He totally had a remission from the disease. And they've duplicated this with other people. It's easier said than done. I will say that, right? Because, again, in our culture, if you got a bad thing going on and you tell people, I'm just going to take it easy and watch a lot of things that make me laugh. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should take this serious. That's what the news is telling us. Take this so serious. You could take things serious and yet go and laugh and do this, right? But, you know, it's the number one thing we can do. And meditation, we have Charles Crenshaw on the call, an expert in meditation. Charlie Curtis, an expert in meditation. But yeah, when you're under high stress, you should do some, I forget where I read this. It said, it was by some other expert in meditation. He would suggest people do something that makes them laugh before they go try to meditate. You don't go from an anger, until you've been really, really trained, you don't go from an anger state to just try to instantly meditate. Do something to lighten the mood, get yourself, right? Also, if you watch something funny before you're going to sleep at night, it helps reset the brain. I've taught this in addictions. A lot of people on the call have seen me teach this, is even if it's just 15 minutes, just watch something that makes you laugh before you go to bed. Right? Because again, in the high stress times, what are we doing? We're watching CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. I don't care what you want. Any of the news, right? And the news comes on TV for a lot of us, the blue collar things. Got to watch the news, then I'm going to bed. Right? So they just told you about all the murders, rapes, killings, you know, the economy collapsing. And now with this thing going on, okay, I just watched all that. Okay, got to go to sleep. See you later. I'm going to bed. No. You know, watch something that makes you laugh, right? And then you get a much better night's sleep. This has been tracked. I forget the study I read where they had people, you know, whatever their favorite funny TV shows were, they would watch that, a couple of episodes of that before going to sleep. They slept deeper. And of course, when you sleep deep, your body's releasing more growth hormone, which stimulates all of your immune system, and everything got better, right? So the best way to reset your immune system, and when you guys re-record this, tweak it as you see fit. But number one is eat healthy. Don't break your eating pattern because there's stress going on. So eat healthy. Make sure you get some sun, you know, and if you're in a part, well, it's finally getting, or parts of the country, most of the country is warming up some. If you're in a part of the country where there's not a lot of sun, get some artificial sun. You need the UV light to make yourself feel better. Right? And before you sleep, watch something that makes you laugh. This begins to reset your immune system. And here's something you can do right before you go to sleep at night. Ask yourself a couple of questions, right? Because your brain's main job is to keep you alive. That's its main job. That's this whole frontal cortex developed, you know, and then we develop society and tools and all the stuff that we're doing just to keep your mechanism, your organism alive. Right. So if you ask your brain a question, if you're thinking about a question, your brain tries to answer the question. Right. So again, how do you ask the question? Not like, oh my God, is this going to be the last night, you know, I see someone or things like that. And then your brain goes off on a tangent the other way. If you ask yourself, how can I let go of this stress and sleep well? How can I let go of all this BS in the environment about all this and just sleep well tonight? Right. And why don't you ask yourself before you go to sleep, how can I let my immune system strengthen tonight? Right? And your brain will go in and say, well, it'll start figuring out how to do it. Right? And you don't have to be consciously aware of it. And then first thing upon awakening, some of you have heard me teach this in my life coaching courses. When you first wake up, there's a magic moment, right? How many of us, when you first wake up in the morning, you have to have that moment of, you got to get your head together. You got to kind of come to your senses. That's what we usually have to do first thing in the morning. Maybe it's, you know, stagger to the bathroom and go to the bathroom. Maybe it's brush your teeth. Maybe it's stagger down the hallway to get a cup of coffee or start the coffee, whatever it is, right? But when you first awaken, you're a blank slate for a quick moment. That's what we say. I got to come to my senses. You got to, your brain's in neutral. It's trying to reset everything. You know, it's like when you're computer first starts in the morning, right? You ever notice it will reboot the programs you left open the night before, unless you're anal retentive enough to make sure you shut down all your programs like Christina does. I do not. But then when it boots up in the morning, there's all those tabs on the bottom of my computer, things that were open yesterday. That's how your brain works, right? And so if your brain is trying to boot and you're bringing up, oh my God, there's the virus, there's this, there's that. What am I going to do? My clients are all canceling. My class is canceled. The conference is canceled. And you automatically default to the panic mode. So in that moment, when you're a blank slate, and this has to happen right when you wake up, you know, I always teach people, ask yourself three questions. depending on what you're working on at the time. But in this case, you know, what if you, and the way I suggest do it is write them down on a piece of paper, put them by where you wake up, right? Because what, how do a lot of people wake up today? They woke up, maybe the alarm goes off, they wake up, then they go, they grab their phone, right? They got to look, do I have any messages? You know, what's going, so they're rebooting problems, right? Right? Yeah, or they turn on the news first thing, even before they get out of bed, they start watching the news, right? So, you know, or they ask themselves, oh shit, what's going to go wrong today, right? So what if in that magic moment when your brain's rebooting, right, before you do anything, what if you ask yourself three questions? You know, how can I enjoy today no matter what? How can I enjoy today no matter what, right? If you ask that question that way, what you begin to do is it's gonna reset your brain. It really will. You know, oops, sorry. We're there. How can I enjoy today no matter what? How can I find joy and express love today? Okay. If you do that, well, you know, then you're gonna feel better. Right. And your brain will have to answer this. How can I find joy today, no matter what's going on? You know, maybe it's a smile of your neighbor's kid. Maybe it's, you know, your dog, whatever it is. Right. How can I? And then if you ask, how can I find joy and express some love today? Your brain will go, well, you could do this. You could do that. And the most powerful thing, and most of us know it on the call, is it kicks in our subconscious mind to help activate that program. So you're going to look for ways to find joy and express love. Hold the door open for somebody. You know, instead of knocking a little old lady off her walker to get the last roll of toilet paper, you might say, well, God love you, lady. You know, enjoy it, whatever it is. And what if you ask yourself, especially in these kind of times, who can I help today? Right? And it changes. You know, and you feel better when you help other people. That's 95% of the population finds happiness and joy in helping other people. You always have the 5% that are somewhat narcissistic and sociopathic that, you know, that won't, but usually we find joy in helping other people. So I expect everyone to take this and redo this for their groups. Make a recording. I'll send you the PowerPoint. Use it if you want, or you could use it as a template and change it, but just kind of make a quick recording, put it up there, right? And talk about, especially talk about this, you know, expressing love and joy, helping other people, enjoying the day no matter what. Bad news is coming, but what can you enjoy in the moment, right? And if we do this, this helps us spread the word, right? And, you know, as NLP practitioners, as hypnotists, and especially as people in the beautiful National Federation of Neurolinguistic Programming, I would like us to become a group that together we help raise everything. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, if people, you know, and a lot of people don't even realize how much they can impact other people, right? Even if we're doing our little practices, you know, whether it's in our offices, whether it's our offices, you know, maybe you're teaching classes, maybe you're doing all of those, you're impacting. And it's the, you know, they call it the, we used to call it the play it forward thing. You know, I never know where this will end. I might help you today. And then you help someone who helps someone who helps someone's kid. And it comes back and it helps you, my daughter in Washington, D.C. I have no idea where everything's going to go. So my job, one of the things I love doing is helping people grow. That's why I do what I do. Unfortunately, most of us get stuck in the law of reverse effect, which is, you know, the harder you try, the harder it becomes. So we're stuck in trying harder. And then on top of the law of reverse effect, you have the paradox of knowledge, where we understand psychology. We understand neurolinguistic programming, hypnosis. Maybe a lot of us have studied a lot of psychology, which helps us in a lot of ways. We can help other people. I can read people. I can help people. But the paradox of knowledge is when what I can help other people make massive changes. A couple of people on the call in the last few months, I've helped redo their practice. They're making more money than ever before. You know, they're doing some things. I didn't do anything all that magical. I was an outside person looking in, because the paradox effect is the paradox of knowledge is what generally would work, because you could do a session on someone else to lose weight, stop smoking, maybe get a positive attitude, maybe even make more money, but it doesn't work for you, right? And there's a lot of reasons going on. And then all this subconscious stuff, which the longer you're using this, the deeper the programs get revealed that you don't know how to, you can't fix yourself, right? It'd be like, you know, trying to change your spark plugs going 70 miles an hour down the highway. Just, it's not going to work. You might have the technology and the skill and be able to rebuild your motor if that's what it is. And that's, we have that kind of skill, but you can't do it driving 75 miles an hour and drive your own car. So you need someone else that can help you do that. Right. And that's what I do. And so I've been I've started doing something in the last, since the first of the year, which is doing the personal coaching again, helping. It's a mentorship program because you can't just do three or four sessions. You can't just do this. It's an ongoing thing. And so that's what I do, because, you know, I know I'm like that. I get stuck, right? I get stuck. I can't see the forest for the trees. A lot of our analogies have some very basic truths. You know, once you're in it, you can't see everything. You can only see the problem in front of you. It's interesting. There was a parable, and I'll shut up. There was a parable Daniel and the lions did. You know, if you're getting eaten by lions, if you're thrown in the lion's den and those lions are going to eat you, whether it's physical lions are going to eat you, whether it's this coronavirus, if you're looking at it, that's all you can see, right? And in the parable, Daniel in the lion's den, he had to turn from the lions. Yes, they were there. He turned from the lions and he looked to the salvation. And once he saw that in the parable, the lions laid down and went to sleep. Because once you focus, we all know that, and this is the paradox of knowledge. I know that if I'm focusing on the lack, if I'm focusing on the pain, I can't. That's all I can see. I can intellectually want it. I can even help other people turn away from it and look to whatever it is that they need, but you can't do it to yourself. So that's what I've been doing for other people in a mentorship thing, some business building. Why are you stuck? Why aren't you making the kind of money you need to make, right? Is there shame, guilt, and remorse about making money? A lot of people say, no, not really. Well, then you're probably making as much money as you want, need, or could possibly use. You know, so it's build your business, maybe help with other clients. In fact, the last two mentoring people I started, I think it's kind of funny, I started helping them because they would call and they'd say, I got this client who's has this problem, whatever it is, X, Y, Z. And what would you do? Well, because they're in the problem, you know, it's why medicine has proven for years that doctors that work in a group practice and they can bounce ideas off other practitioners do much better. You know, when I worked for the mental health unit, or when I was the clinical supervisor at the prison, there was a lot of power in the sessions we would have. We're working with, you know, new inmates with psychological issues. You had the psychiatrist, you had a social worker, and you had one of the psychologists sitting in the room, or I was, right? And I was the clinical director of the overall unit. So you had three different perspectives, made it go much, much better, right? And it gave each viewpoint brought something in. And so when you have an outside mentor, and I have a couple, it helps change the perspective. You know, so that's what I do, right? And also it reveals something very, very important, right? And it was just pointed out to me, and then I will begin to cut. You cannot model what you resent. You cannot model what you resent, right? So you say, I want to make more money, but then you resent the people making more money, and you resent them at some level, and you'll find fault with how they're making money. Oh, they're spamming their email list. They're doing this. You know, all their posts are all about just another class, just this, just that, just that. So you resent it. And yet at the same time, you're saying, I want to make more money. Well, they're showing you one way to make money. There's a lot of ways, but your brain will generalize and begin resent. You can't model what you resent, right? Rather than say, what are they doing well? How can I model it? What can I do with it? When you're stuck in it, you can't do it, right? And so sounds like an easy fix, but you need some outside help. And again, that's that paradox of knowledge. It begins to not work for you as well as it would work for someone else. And so, you know, that's what I've started lately. If anybody's interested, reach out. But please be serious about it, because one of the things we do, you know, is one of the things I used to do, is especially in the mentorship program, is I say, you know, if at the end of the year you haven't made back what you've paid me, let me know, right? Because I don't want to charge you anymore, and I'll probably give you your money back, because it should be exponential growth. You know, if you pay me X, you should make back X plus Y, right? That's a win-win. Unfortunately, a lot of people in our world, a win-win means I win first, I win second, I win third, I don't care about you. I like really win-wins, because again, when everybody, the other thing, the reason I want everyone to begin to do this is to spread the wealth, because when you guys are doing better, I'm doing better. If you have more money to spend on seminars, conferences, classes, books, things like that, everybody does well. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So if you're interested in it, let me know. Reach out to me, because we have to talk about it, you know, because I can't help everybody. It depends what the problem is. You know, I enjoy doing it. And I want to make this important to everyone so we can all grow together. And again, do this, do a version, make a recording, do a Facebook Live if you want, maybe have your little PowerPoint up, and just do a Facebook Live and get it out to your groups, your people. Share the wealth. You don't have to give me credit, kind of credit NFNLP, so the organization can grow together. And one reason that was kind of ironic, I planned this out before I thought about it, to be honest with you, that it happened to fall on, you know, the anniversary of my sobriety date, which for me is very important, because that's when my life started to change. And my life started to change when I was able to put down the drink and the drugs and really begin to sober up and change my life. And it was through the NLP and the hypnosis and the skills I was given that helped me change my life. So that's part of my mission, to give back. And, you know, the way you do that is to help other frontline people begin to do it. So if you have any questions, shoot me a comment later on, or, you know, I'll post this on Facebook. You could read it there. You all have my email address, because I did not do this one on Facebook Live. It was just here on Zoom. It will be posted and it'll go out in the email, so everybody can watch it. It'll be on YouTube, and with the YouTube, I'll post the PowerPoint so people can grab it. But please do this, get it up there, and have some fun. Thank you all for joining. And let me stop the recording.